Well, it's a joy to be able to gather again tonight in the house of the Lord. It's good to hear someone give thanks unto God when you know it's coming from the heart. Not just for what he's done, but for who he is. And we certainly do need to be a thankful people, do we not? Well, I've enjoyed the service thus far. Thank the Lord for the good touch of the Lord. For the good music singing by the youth choir and the congregation, the good specials tonight, how they've ministered to our hearts. Thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace, don't you? The Lord's been gracious to us these three nights, and I give him glory for that, and I praise him for it. We need to be very, very sensitive to the Lord as we worship him and reverence him, give him honor and glory. We need to be very sensitive to that as we honor him. What a great privilege it is to do so. And I bless his name. I give him glory. Thank you for all that you have given this week monetarily. Thank you for the good place that you provided for us to stay, good meals that we've partaken of. But I sure do thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Pray for us there at Liberty Baptist in Crossville. That the Lord would help us, continue to help us. You can find us on the web page at liberty-baptist.org or libertybaptist.church. What a privilege it is to be saved by the grace of God. Sure glad to be saved. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Randall, you and Susie say amen right where you're supposed to. You'll know where it's at. I'm sure they've heard this. I haven't ever preached anything that they hadn't heard. This is what God has assigned us to, and I trust it'll be beneficial for us tonight. Notice, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." That word "again" speaks volumes to my heart. That word "again" would indicate that he had once had hope, and his hope had been taken away. But now it's been begotten again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, Simon Peter said, "I believed him. I knew that he was crucified. I lost my hope, but it all came back when he got up. I've been begotten again unto a lively hope." Verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Somebody said, "I wonder when they're going to get my mansion done." Well, I've traveled all over America, and I've never made a reservation in a place that wasn't finished. So this place is already reserved. Reserved for us, so it's done. Verse 5, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now notice verse 6 and 7. "Wherein you greatly rejoice." In other words, he said, now the word "wherein" is a connecting conjunction. And he said, you can rejoice in what I've just told you. "Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation." He said, you might not find anything going on right now to rejoice in. You may be in a season of heaviness, but you can rejoice in what you've already got that circumstances never affect. It's a living Lord, a lordly help, and a lasting home. Amen. And that's enough to rejoice in no matter what's going on. Then he said, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach tonight for a few moments on the trial of your faith. The trying of your faith. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for allowing us together tonight. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us to open the Word of God. Ask you now that your will would be done. You know why you have assigned us to this portion of the Word of God. I pray now that you would use it for your honor and your glory. And for whatever's accomplished, you will get all the glory for it. Deal in the hearts of the unsaved. Help the hearts that are struggling with situations tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this, we find that there is the trying of your faith. Now, somebody said, preacher, why must faith really be put to the test? For the simple fact that you don't know what kind of faith you have until it's been tested. Can I say that again? You never know what kind of faith you have until it's been put to the test. And then when it's been put to the test and you come out on the other side, your step may not be as high, your shoulders may not be as thrown back, but you still got a hand to lift, to give glory and praise unto God. You can be assured that faith has been tried and faith is real. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad that there is the trying of your faith. Faith is what we please God with. And without it, it's impossible according to Hebrews 11:6. But I want to say to you tonight that faith that is strengthened, the way faith is strengthened, is to be tried. Now, I want you to go with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. The book of Luke, chapter number 8. And I want to use tonight for my illustrative text a fella that we're going to examine his faith. As we travel along with him tonight, we may find ourselves in a similar situation. But we're going to see this individual by the name of Jairus. We're going to see his faith as it's put to the test. But he still believes God. Now, notice if you will, in verse number 40 of Luke chapter number 8, Bible said, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, we'll read the rest of the text as we go along through the message tonight. We find a man here who has a real difficulty in his life. He has one daughter, and that daughter is dying. He's got a situation that has gotten out of his hands. Matter of fact, Jairus probably, and we don't know exactly how long the young girl had been sick, but I don't believe that Jairus let her lay there without trying to get some kind of medical attention for her. Maybe the same doctors that dealt with the woman
with the issue of blood has went by to see her, and we'll deal with her in just a moment. But as we look at this, Jairus has got a situation that he cannot fix. He hears that there's a crowd awaiting on Jesus, and he makes his way to the Lord. Somehow he has heard that there's a man called Jesus, that man can do for you what no one else can do. Aren't you glad he's our Savior? I want to look tonight, first of all, at faith exercised. Now let me say to you, friend, about faith being exercised. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Jairus' faith was real. And you see, he knew where to go to for help. His faith was real. There's nothing wrong with Jairus' faith. He believes that the Lord Jesus can do for him what needs to be done. There's nothing wrong with his faith. I'm driving that point home because if you're not real careful, a lot of times when your situation gets worse, the devil will tell you your faith is not correct. I want to tell you, friend, Jairus' situation got completely bad, but it didn't have nothing to do because his faith was wrong. I want to say to you, friend, real faith was exercised. I see this man of prestige and power, a ruler of the synagogue, comes running and falls at Jesus' feet in the dust of Galilee and says, my only daughter is dying. Would you please come? Would you please come? Now, I see his desperate dilemma. Did you know that normally desperation is what drives us to the Lord? And now his situation has become desperate. He cannot fix it. I see concerning this same episode in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 23. Here's what Jairus did. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. There's nothing wrong with Jairus' faith. There are those that will tell you, because you're not getting from the Lord what you need, is that your faith has become corrupted. There's nothing wrong with Jairus' faith. He's run to Jesus. He's bowing before Jesus. He's begging of Jesus. And the Lord is now going with him. So we see a desperate dilemma. His desperate dilemma was a dying daughter. And the Bible says it was his only daughter. Now listen to me very carefully. God has let me preach long enough to understand this truth. If you got a real heart for God and you want to bring glory to him, the trial of your faith is going to come in what and through who you love the most. Listen to me carefully. So I said, well, I bypassed all of that. You see, God's a jealous God. He's not a mean God, he's a jealous God. He's a loving God. He's got a right to be jealous of me, amen, and what I do. He's got a right to do that. And if you got a real heart for God and you desire to please him, he'll deal with the area of what you love the most and who you love the most to see if you're going to still love him supremely. Of what he's dealing with, that you love here will surpass the love for him, and your love grows cold for him when he deals with what you love the most here. Can I say to you, friend, hey, this is a fiery trial that's come to try Jairus. It's here. His only daughter is dying, and he's exercising the greatest faith. He don't know nothing else to do but run to Jesus. I see the desperate dilemma. Let me say this right here. In the years that I pastored prior to evangelism, I thought, and I just didn't think it was so. All of my testing and all of my tryings came through the church and the church people. You know, I thought trials couldn't get no worse than a church turning on you. But you know, those things, and I give God the glory, those things wouldn't detour me from the ways of God. There's some places that I didn't have to pray about leaving. I just had to pray about packing. And I thought, I don't know how bad, how much worse it could get. But can I say to you, as times progressed, I see God now as He's tested me through my family. I mean, I love the church, but I don't love no church like I do my wife and girls and grandboys. I don't love nobody like I do them. And I've seen God bring them through trials. I've got a daughter now. Tonight she'll be home with my only two grandboys. One's Downs and one's autistic. I don't understand that. But I have come to know this, that if you don't fall, God is going to see and move in areas that He wants to prove your love supremely for Him. And now, Brother King, I pray there's not a day goes by that we don't have difficulties. Every day. I don't have time to deal with all of that, but I'm just simply saying, every day there's difficulties. We don't know if we're going to make it today or not with this situation. And I've asked God now 100 times, oh God, I'll take those other tests 1,000 times over. God, if you'll let me go back, take your other test 1,000 times over. I'll be glad to do it. If you just give my family a little bit of slack, if you just give them a few weeks, a few days. And sometimes your faith begins to wane. And you say, oh God. See, the thing of it is, I'm not the only one in that. There's others in here tonight. You're in similar situations. And the devil begins to tell you, as little Katie said, what's the use? So I see Jairus' faith exercised. I see the desperate dilemma, his dying daughter. And then I see the decided direction. What's the decided direction, people? Preacher? Mark 5:24 said, and Jesus went with him. Now, just stay with me here now. We're headed somewhere. Jesus went with him. Come here, Brother King. Come here. I need you to help me. Come here now. Now watch this. I'll be Jairus and you be Jesus. That'd probably fit better. But now watch this. Now remember, Jairus' daughter's dying. Okay? He's got the Lord now heading in his direction. I don't think they're on a casual stroll. I think Jairus has got him by the hand. Because you see, Jairus is human. Jairus thinks like humans do. And Jairus knows that there's a little, very small window of opportunity that the Lord, he thinks, can work in. Just a very small, the window's about shut. Very small opportunity. And I see Jairus as he says, come on, Jesus. Come on. Please come on, Lord. Because you see, what he don't realize is that he's got by the hand a man that there's nothing impossible with. But with Jairus, impossibility is just around the corner. He's hoping he can get there before his daughter dies. And I see him as he says, come on, come on, come on, come on, Lord. Hey, sit down there a minute. I'll need you. Let me say, listen to me. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? Have you ever got Jesus in a hurry? Have you ever had a situation and you're saying, Lord, you got to do it now. Oh, God, please, God, please. So his faith is exercised. Then let me give you point number two. Faith intensified. What's that, preacher? Nervous faith. Somebody said that's an oxymoron. That's a paradox. Worried faith. You ever had worried faith? Nervous faith. Knowing God can, but wondering if he will. You know, God taught me something all through the Old Testament. It's trust. You don't find the word faith in the Old Testament. You find trust. You find faith in the New Testament. And somebody said, well, they're the same. They're just the same meaning for a Hebrew and a Greek word. No, I beg to differ with you. Trust. Now listen, faith, real faith, is knowing he will. Trust is knowing he can. I spend the most of my days trusting him. Sometimes my faith wears out, but my trust don't ever give in. Faith knows he will, but trust knows he can. Oh, right now I spend an afternoon in the motel asking God, my faith is on the bottom, but I still trust you. I still trust you. I still trust you. I've asked you to do, and you hadn't done. And I don't know if my faith is right or not, but I know in my heart, I know you still can. I know you still can. So Jesus is going with him, and now faith intensified. Well, what is that, preacher? Well, Bible said in the end of verse 42 back in Luke 8, but as he went, the people thronged him. Now, here's Jairus in a hurry, and nobody else is. Here's Jairus in a hurry to get Jesus down to his house, and everybody is wanting to mix and mingle with Jesus. Then, all of a sudden, there's a woman that presses through the crowd. Now, stay with me here. Normally, we preach about Jairus, and we leave the woman out of it. It's all the same text. They ain't no break. And I see Jesus, or I see this woman, unnamed. I see her come pressing through the crowd, and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Now, Jairus has had him going down to his house at a pretty fast pace. But now the woman touches him, and Jairus' hope stops. I'll tell you, this is going to get real personal tonight. It's already helping me. But Jairus' hope stops. That woman touches him, and Jesus stops. Well, how long was he stopped? I don't know. But for a woman to tell men about being sick 12 years, you know, Bible said she told him all things about every doctor visit, about every hurt and every ailment. 12 years of it, she told him. He could have been there for, we could have said months, but we know he wasn't there that long. We know that, the point I'm making is that Jairus' faith is being tried. And now his hope was that he could get down there before his daughter died. But now his hope stopped. And his hope is fixing somebody else's problem. Listen to me. Listen to me right here. I see Jairus. I see Jairus. I need to get this stool out of here so folk can see what I'm doing here. I don't mean to disrupt the service here, but I am preaching here. Now watch this. I see Jairus now. Jesus stops, and I see Jairus as he pulls on him. And I see Jesus as he kindly disconnects from Jairus. Right in the middle of the worst battle he's ever had, he gets disconnected. And I see Jairus as he sits down. And Jesus dealing with that woman as if though Jairus is forgotten. Now the whole story is about Jairus. The whole text is about Jairus. But here he says, he could want to say, now he could have got up and said and tried to butt in, but the Lord's so involved with that woman, he ain't paying no attention to Jairus. Because see, the one who there's nothing impossible with don't have to pay no attention to us. Because he can fix it anyhow. Oh, Lord. I tell you, we got a great God. A great God. I see Jairus sitting here now, and his help and hope is now being given to somebody else. This is always where the devil jumps on your shoulder. I can see Jairus sitting there. The devil begins screaming in his ear. I told you. I told you, Jairus, it didn't matter. I told you he was a respecter of persons. Oh, I know, Jairus, you had his attention first. But he's not really interested in you, Jairus. He does care about others more than he does you. Now, there ain't nobody else in here that the devil's ever told that to but me. But that's what he says. That's what he says. You see others in the middle of your desperation. You see others getting help. You see God fixing the situation of others. In the middle of your situation that's getting worse, and you examine yourself and say, Lord, is it where I hadn't done enough? God, is my love cold? God, what's the matter with me? Why is it, Lord, that you're stopping helping her? And I see her situation getting fixed, and I had your attention first. I had you going with me. And if you're not careful, the devil will talk you into getting up and walking off and saying it's going to have to die right where it's at. There, he doesn't care. It's not going to be no hope. There's no help. There's no hope involved. He really doesn't care. He really doesn't care for me. You know what that is? That's faith intensified. That's nervous faith. That's worried faith. And here he is. He's sitting there. And now I want you to look at something. Now you can answer this for me. I see the working providence of God in all of this. What do you mean, preacher? Well, how old was that girl? How long that woman been sick? Now that ain't coincidental. It ain't accidental. It's providential. You know when I believe that woman got sick? The day that girl was born. They probably did not even know each other. But the Lord knew 12 years back yonder that their paths was going to cross at his feet. The back yonder 12 years ago, that little life came into the world and this one here started having difficulties. I don't care how many physicians that woman seen, she couldn't get better. She couldn't have got better because God had a time frame. Woo! God had a time frame about you under 12 years. 12 years down the road, God knew that Jairus and that woman was going to cross paths at his feet. And he waited to help that woman so the woman could help Jairus. Because the Lord said to that woman, kept saying it, daughter, talking to the woman, daughter. And every time Jesus would call her daughter, it would resonate in Jairus' mind. Oh, my daughter, my daughter. But what he's trying to get Jairus to see is Jesus was doing for her what nobody else could do. And he could do for him what nobody else could do, even though his faith had given out. The devil screaming in his ear, I'll just go on home, Jairus. He ain't got time for you. You've got him, you've asked him, you've begged with him, you've pleaded with him. And now there's no hope. You ever been sitting here with Jairus? I see the working providence of God here in faith intensified. But then I see the wonderful power of God. Right in the middle of Jairus' situation, I see the mighty workings of the wonderful power of God. That woman was made whole and testified of it. Why did the Lord make her tell? Why did the Lord say, "Who touched me?" Why did the Lord ask that woman to give her testimony? See, a lot of times Lord is giving tokens of his presence to you if you'll just quit listening so much to your situation and start looking around at what God's doing. And he's helping others, proving that he can do the same for you. My point is tonight, don't give up on God. Then, while things are getting better for the woman, things are getting worse for Jairus. Then I see faith exercised, faith intensified. Then I see faith paralyzed, just completely paralyzed. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I see the disappointing report. Look at verse number 49. Well, let's read verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. All right. Now, faith has been intensified. It's been exercised properly, correctly. Now it's been intensified for a while. Now faith is completely paralyzed. While Jesus is yet dealing with that woman, someone comes from Jairus' house. Says, Jairus, I hate to tell you, no need in bothering the Lord anymore. Don't trouble the master. Did you know he's never said, don't trouble me? Others have told me not to trouble him, but he's never said that. Others has told me I just swells to leave it alone, but he ain't never told me that. Somebody said, don't trouble the master. But the master never told me not to trouble him. Are you getting that? And here he is now, all hope
gone. Faith completely destroyed, paralyzed, nothing workable, nothing active. But what, and he, Jairus, has forgotten that he had already told Jesus about his problem.
Right. Amen.
Jairus has forgotten it. Jesus ain't.
Yeah, right.
The whole time he's been dealing with that woman, he hadn't forgotten Jairus. The whole time, ma'am, sir, that he's helping somebody else, he hadn't forgotten you. Well, I seen her daughter come home. She went wild. I saw God bring her daughter home. And I love the Lord, I think, as much as she does. And I've asked the church to pray for my son or my daughter or my grandson. I've asked them to pray, and I've seen God bring others home, but mine's still out there. While he's fixing others, he ain't forgot about you. Just remember that. Praise God, he's a-helping me tonight. This might have been just for me. Then I see the disappointing report. I see the devastating response. And then I see the divine resolve. Well, it's over. But look, the Bible says, verse 50, but when Jesus heard it.
Oh, yeah.
Heard what? What they said to Jairus. Don't trouble the master. Jesus heard it. And he answered him saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now, what good is that going to do to a man who's just lost his daughter? Come here, Brother King. A while ago, you was Jesus, and I was Jairus. And I was trying to get you down there to help my daughter. But now my faith is shot. I'm hopeless. Everything is gone.
I bet Jesus takes the lead.
Everything is gone. There's no hope. I'll be Jesus and you be Jairus.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, now they ain't in a bigger hurry as they was when Jairus was leading. But they're walking fellowshipping now. And I see Jesus as he says, come on, Jairus. You came to me, Jairus, and I heard you, and I know about your daughter. And I know that you had just a little old bitty window of time for me to get there, and I know what's happened. And I know you about pulled my arm off a while ago, Jairus. And I know you were trying to get me. You operating at a time slot, Jairus. You've got a little time slot, and I understand. So let me just show you what I can do. Come on, Jairus. I know it's I know your heart's broke. And I know you're hurting.
Yeah, don't count God out.
Boy, I ain't never done this. I don't mean to embarrass nobody. Come here, Holly. They shared with me a little bit last night. I never put this together until just now. Get his hand. All hope's gone. Don't know what to do. And Jesus says, come on, Brother and Sister King. We had a time slot. We've done it. We've had a little time slot. We've had just a little time slot that we thought we could work in. And you think I've let you down. And when you think it's impossible, oh, just come on. Just come on and let me show you. Let me show you what I can do. Let me show you.
Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Yes.
Let me show you. You say, oh, preacher, you don't need to give false hope. There ain't no such thing with the Lord. There is no such thing as false hope with the Lord. I'm telling you, He's real. He's God. There's no one like Him. He's great. He's marvelous. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't know. Our tomorrows is shot. Our hope and our health is gone. We look in every direction for help, and it's not there. And we finally get a hold of the Lord. We pray through, and then He quits on us. But He still knows. He's still right. He's still real. He knows what He's doing. In His time, He will do the impossible. I got another point, and it's faith stabilized, but I don't need to deal with it. Here, they get down to Jairus' house, and don't take the Lord no time to fix the problem. He just goes in there and tells her to get up and somebody get her something to eat. The thing that was about to destroy Jairus wasn't no problem for the Lord. He just went down there and said, young lady, get up, and I'm sure you're hungry. Somebody give her a little something to eat.
That's right.
And it wasn't nothing for him. Oh, if you only knew. I wish I had time, but I don't. I'm wore out. I wish I had time to just tell you the avenues that we've tried to go to find help. To just get help. To teach my youngest little boy my youngest grandson who will turn 6 this month, to just somebody to give him teach him to say one word. He hadn't spoken a word. We're asking, and we went. We've tried help here, we've tried help there. We've asked, and they just keep turning us down. And I see my daughter. I've never seen a lady as strong as she is. And you know what she says? You know what she told me Sunday night? Dad. Now she said to me, Dad, don't give up. Dad, I should be telling her. No. She said, Dad, it's going to be all right. Said, one of these Sunday mornings, he's going to sing Amazing Grace. You wait and see. Said, don't you give up. Hey, you think God's going to let that go unheard and unheeded? I'm telling you, He's real. See the trial of your faith. A lot of times ain't what we think it is. It's real. It's personal. In that time that you're disconnected, you've had Him going, but you get disconnected. In that time that you're disconnected, remember them. Remember this. When you can't feel Him, just remember He's always right there somewhere around. When you ain't got to hold His hand, just remember He's right there. He's right there. I'm trying to shut up. But I'm getting so much help here tonight. I'm telling you, God's a help in my old heart. My old heart, I'm telling you. That God is a help. He's saying, hey, don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. Hey, I don't know what your situation is. I don't have a clue. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't have a clue. I don't know what you're about to give up on. I don't have a clue. Just don't. Let me read you this verse and I'm done. If I can find it, this verse just came to mind. If I can find it. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we believe not. That's Jairus sitting right there when he just got his word. She's dead. Yet he abideth faithful. He, watch it. He cannot deny himself. Now, who is himself? It's us. We're his body. Even though we don't believe, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. We're his body. Hey, he's going to do for the body what the body needs. It's sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to keep believing God when it's difficult. But remember this. When you can't believe, he still does. We've received all riches in him. And when the body don't believe, as long as the head does, that's all that matters. You know what? You can't, I don't care what you do to the body, you can't drown it till you get to put the head under. And the head ain't going under. Oh, if it ever dawns on you who we've got on our side. Oh, let me say it again, like I said last night. We're not only on his side and he's on ours, we're in his side. We're submerged. We've been baptized in the body of Christ by one Spirit. We're in his side. When the storm's raging and the fierce winds are howling, and the devil is beating up on you and he's screaming at you, remember who you belong to. And when your faith wears out and wears thin and wears down and you just completely, when you give up, when you can't believe, he believes for you. He abideth faithful. He can't deny himself.